Today's episode, we break down what's happening for the month of October. We talk about challenges with stock listings and the new home buy scheme and what it means for you.
Welcome to the Sydney Property Muppets podcast. My name is Kurt Lawther. I'm the real estate agent, and with me forever is
Chris Clark, the buyer's agent. I feel like we're really articulating ourselves at the moment.
Oh, usually I'm screaming at the camera and my brothers have lambasted me for that. So a gentle approach.
Be gentle. Okay. Month of October.
Yes.
We step into it, out of September into October. How do we categorise it from a real estate standpoint in Sydney at the moment?
A-grade properties are flying off the shelf. B-grade properties are going okay, but then C or B minus properties are sort of struggling a bit hit or miss.
There's a variety of things, right? So we talked about off camera that there's low listings, or definitely lower listings than usual this time of year.
Yep.
And also the days on market, you know, typically in Sydney, it's below 30 days. And at the moment, the average is around 35 days. That's really dragged, I think, from that B grade, C grade stock, the A grade stock, when it's coming to the market. We are still seeing things move within 2 or 3 days or a week, but that other stock that's not quite selling, maybe it is, it's selling at 40, 50, 55 days. And I've had a couple of transactions recently like that, where the vendors have either had an overinflated maybe self-worth of the property or value of the property,
yep,
or buyers have taken a little bit of time to recognize that they actually need to be spending that amount of money on that property.
Yeah, I think from a vendor, a seller's point of view, the issue they have is everyone generally thinks their home is just this premium product, and yep, sometimes it is.
Always is, always. It's always better than neighbor.
And sometimes a property that's not that great also flies off the shelf, and you're 100 meters down the street, and you're like, how come my property's not selling? And the vendor's expectation or the seller's expectation is still too high for where the market generally is at.
Currently sits.
And I was going to say, and I think some people ask, oh, why do vendors always want to go to auction? I still think at the end of the day, the auction is a true indication of where a property's value is at. Now, yes, someone might pay over it for a highly competitive auction, but what about all the auctions that like have one person or two people, and it's the slowest grind in a world that passes in it as well? I think it goes to show sort of where the market's.
I think also my view is we're in an auction state or an auction city. So Sydney, Melbourne in particular, are really auction heavy. Other locations like Brisbane, Perth, Adelaide aren't. And we're so much used to as a culture, it's almost like if a property doesn't go for auction, it's almost like, well, what's wrong with it? And I think also from the vendor standpoint, they have an anticipation to some degree that it's going to go on the market, that they want to go at auction. They want to have the auctioneer there as well.
Yeah.
Last month as well, we saw Bullock. I always say Sandra, what's her name? The head of the RBA decided, or the group did, that there wasn't going to be a rate rise or rate decrease. There was nothing coming forward.
I think a great decision.
I believe so too. But I think it also sets a tone that I think we may not see any other changes for the rest of the year.
I don't think we will. I think they've put it on pause. I also don't think if there was to be another one in November, what tone it sets going into the new year for property prices. If there is a drop, is that going to put the expectation or get too much momentum in the market?
I look at it from two standpoints. There's the people who have mortgages, who obviously they want a rate decrease to go, you know, more and more, you know. But I think you've got to look at it, well, it's come down dramatically in the last year or so anyway. So, you know, to some degree, be thankful for that. And I look at people buying property, and I've had this happen recently where we've had a budget with a client, we've then purchased property in the budget. By the time we actually get the reapproval, you know, done, they've actually able to loan more money, but it also means that they feel more comfortable in what they've purchased, because like, well, I didn't actually, you know, I was going to spend the entire whack of my loan. I've actually got a bit of a buffer there. That feels good to them as well.
Yeah.
And then also we have the government bringing forward the 5% first home buyer scheme. So it means in Sydney, and we're always spoke about Sydney, median house price is effectively $1.5 million. So that's the number they've plucked out of the air. Say up to $1.5 million, you only need 5% deposit. You don't need an LMI, which is insurance, which might cost you $12,000 to $20,000.
Yep.
It's a flawed system. I'm going to call it a here. I think Kurt's the same as me. Doesn't increase dwellings. It is going to increase prices at that level. It doesn't do anything to do with the root cause, and it's going to increase some competition at level. He should be licking his lips, but he's actually, I think you're also justly looking at it going, it doesn't matter what side of politics you're on, it doesn't quite make sense.
Yeah, like regardless of where you sit on the spectrum politically, I just think it's just a dumb decision. And I think it's so dumb. It's to grab votes. It's just going to push prices up. And I think from both sides of politics, no one is actually fixing the actual issue, which is the supply.
Yeah. And you look back 20 years ago, I think it was around that time, maybe longer, when the first of these schemes started coming through, some states on federal level, and it was really tied to new construction, new dwellings. Now, that makes sense because we're going to need new dwellings. We need new dwellings in Australia. The problem that probably that caused in terms of what I saw was some developers, you know, the larger sort of apartment complexes, lick their lips because all of a sudden they had a bank of clients coming through that couldn't buy an established property, could only buy theirs, and felt like they needed to rush to make sure they got the grants at the right time. And I think some of the products that were built at that time weren't done to the quality that we would typically expect. So there needs to be some checks and balance around it. But what it did address was some dwelling, you know, increased dwellings.
Well, the issue we have at the moment is even when apartment complexes go up, because there's such a short supply, they're getting absolutely snapped up ridiculously by home buyers that just want to get in, or investors that already have one or two and they're happy to pay that premium product because the product that is coming out, it's expensive.
Correct.
Like if we're looking, for example, Chatswood, like a new two-bedroom off the plan unit, like might be going for around 1.5 mil.
Yep.
And it's just...
What's an established version? Let's say 10 years old equivalent. What's that selling for?
It could sell, depending on the block, somewhere between 1.25 and 1.45.
Yeah. So you're paying over, maybe slightly or greatly than that, but you're getting something brand new. And there's obviously not only that, and I hate this phrasing of it, I hate this idea, but you get some tax depreciation of it. Always recommend don't buy a property for tax depreciation reasons.
For people that don't, you just hear it like, why shouldn't you buy for tax depreciation? It's like you're spending $1 to make 30 cents.
Yeah,
you're meant to use it. It's a benefit that can help you, but don't buy it.
And maybe your core reasons, your fundamentals to why.
Or quick tip, when someone says you buy an in property and they're like, oh, we can rental guarantee for 2 years or 3 years. One that's already built into the price, and if it's such a great rental, you don't need a guarantee because it's going to be rented out.
Very cool.
That's my whole take.
Nice. All right, then that's a nice little wrap up for the month of October.
Yeah.
We look forward to seeing how it goes and like see pan out for the rest of the year. On to some quick cues.
Three quick cues, Chris. No defending. Oh. Here we go.
Always get nervous.
Rate the policy that we just spoken about, the 5%. Yep. On a scale between 5 and 13?
6.
I love it. What are your thoughts on the government owning a percentage of your home?
Oh, I'm against it. I get why they're doing it, but yeah, I'm against it.
Yeah, perfect.
I'm going to defend too much more than that.
And how do you like your steak cooked?
Medium rare.
Medium rare. I like it.
Medium rare. I had a couple of blue steaks in my time, which have been amazing, but they've got to be top-notch chef for that.
Bonus question off the top of my head. Do you think someone is a muppet if they asked a waiter at a 5-star restaurant if the chef knows how to cook medium rare?
Yes. Categorically. Is this a real story?
Yeah.
Is this you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. All right, another quick question for you.
Yeah.
Let's say you order steak, right? Whatever, but chicken turns up. Do you send the chicken back and get your steak, or you just eat what's in front of you?
Well, that's a great question. I think if I notice it straight away...
You notice a chicken versus a steak straight away?
Yeah, I'd ask.
You take it back? I'll just eat what's in front of me.
Yeah. Or if there's not a big price difference... And it looks good. I'll probably just turn it around.
All right, bit of homework for the week. What do we got?
We're going to rate the podcast on Spotify. Nice. So you jump on the Spotify or Apple, give us... I know Spotify has the 5 stars.
Yep. So if you're watching this on YouTube, go to one of those channels. And I'd say if you're on listeners on Spotify or Apple, go to YouTube and give us a like, give us a subscribe on there.
I like it.
Beautiful. Thanks for dropping by.